When the U.S. housing market collapsed about 10 years ago, the carnage was especially severe in Southern California's Inland Empire. Back then, home building was booming, fueled in part by risky home loans. Now, you know what happens next. Foreclosures, thousands of them. Every street could tell a story. Well, today we visit one near San Bernardino to kick off a series examining how the crisis is still affecting people and communities today. Here's LA Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas.
Augie Cortez and his wife Blanca bought their little slice of the American dream in Bloomington, a working-class community 50 miles east of LA.
I would drive around, see who moved in, and maybe one person like in the middle of the block.
The four-bedroom house was on the first block of a new subdivision. They put down a healthy down payment on a 15-year mortgage. Monthly payments would be high, but the name of the little cul-de-sac seemed like a good omen. Dream Street.
I thought that was a cool name. I don't think I ever heard of the name Dream Street, right? I never heard of one.
So you guys did all this?
I had, what, like 12 guys here?
And for a while, the dream was good. Augie works in construction, and back then, business was booming. He had enough extra cash to redo all the cement work along the sides of the house and the back patio himself. There's a family portrait taken the day his three daughters pressed some memories into the wet cement.
Those are my daughter's handprints, man. Those are my daughter's handprints right there.
When Augie and his wife bought the house about 17 years ago, they didn't do it on one of those risky loans, spring-loaded with punishing adjustable rates. They had a conventional loan, but got dragged under anyway when home prices started to tank. The last house that sold on Dream Street sold for about $430,000 in 2006. 3 years later, at the peak of the meltdown, it was worth barely a quarter of that. It was the same story up and down the block and across the region. Even people who avoided risky loans slipped underwater. Construction work vanished. So did Augie's cement finishing job.
You know, and it was like, why did we get into this 15-year loan? I was working then, you know.
To put food on the table, he sold lumber, did odd jobs for neighbors. Mortgage payments got skipped. Default notices were dropping into mailboxes across the neighborhood, including Augie's.
There's empty houses. It's sad to see everybody just like pack their stuff. I wasn't going to do that. Not me. Heck no. Put my money down in this house. I would have stood here until they put that tag on my door.
Until the sheriff showed
up. Yeah, I probably would have.
Sheriff's deputies never came. Augie was able to work out a deal. The 15-year mortgage was extended to a 20, and some of the terms were renegotiated. But 10 years after they bought in, half of the 13 original owners on Dream Street had been foreclosed on or fled.
Dreams kind of beyond your control. A nightmare is a kind of dream, too. So dreams can cut all directions. Dreams can be all kinds of things. It's proved to be that here on Dream Street.
Riverside photojournalist Doug McCullough has been documenting Dream Street's rise, near collapse, and now recovery. He remembers the last family to move onto Dream Street. They bought near the peak of the boom and couldn't hang on. When the notice to vacate got slapped on the front door, they salvaged what they could and dug in somewhere else.
Somebody showed up, dug up four palm trees right out of their front yard and hauled them off. 2 months later, they got a family member who had good credit. They bottom fished the market. They bought a house about a mile away, and the palm trees, they planted them at their new house.
Over that side. Whoa.
Crossy. He just did everything to us, like a barn.
Oh, man, he's got one badass hot rod in the garage.
Really? Out on the sidewalk, Cortez and McCullough catch up with Jerry Williams. He's the only other original Dream Streeter left. He and his wife, Kelly, moved in around the same time as Augie and his wife.
How's life on Dream Street these days?
It's pretty good, pretty quiet.
Seems like it is, man. We like it.
Keep guys from tagging our fences.
These days, all the houses are occupied on Dream Street. No more busted out windows or dead lawns.
I guess it was a dream. I got to keep it. Shoot, that's what's good.
A dream half realized. From Augie's front door, we look across to a pair of large, dusty, vacant lots. No houses were ever built on the other side of Dream Street. It's undeveloped county land that was supposed to be the site of a park and a library.
So that sounded good for my girls. Wow, perfect. And there's the park and the library. It's invisible. It's a visible
conceptual park.
The county says the land turned out to be too narrow. County tax revenue also plummeted with housing values. There are currently no plans for the empty lots. Again, here's Doug.
So people were betting that that bubble would go on, and of course it couldn't. Other people bet against the bubble, but no one really knows. So the one thing you can say is there will be another spot where hanging on to the dream gets really, really hard.
It's funny when I walk around here. It's
like, if you cross Dream Street and walk across those vacant lots, you might spot a sign nailed to a post with a come on that sounds a little too good to be true. Buy a home, 1% down, free recorded message. There's a phone number.
Hi, this is Emily, your local real estate professional. Buying a home has never been easier.
In our next story, how new trends in home loans are stoking old fears.
Which puts you on your way to home ownership.
For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas on Dream Street.
Please leave your name and number with the best time to reach you.